Suburban Trump voters are guys and gals like me, pulling down six figures but living like they make seven, praying that a well-timed tax cut will make up the difference and using credit cards to keep up with their neighbors in the interim. Nothing bothers them more than the idea that they might have to part with a single dime that would go to the wrong people. My old friend Donald got elected because the aggrieved white almost rich teamed up with the aggrieved white almost poor against the mainstream left, whose current pitch is retributive justice for their own aggrieved parties, women, racial minorities, LGBTs, and all the other ticker symbols that are bullish these days. Resentment has become the official language of our culture. Resentful people are retreating to tribalism, shouting that the system has to be destroyed because things are worse than ever, even though it's hard to argue exactly how anyone living in this country is suffering worse today than they were two or three generations ago, much less five or ten. And it also ignores the fact that, while the 99% are hashing things out, the truly privileged upper class hedge their bets, so their interests are served regardless of who is in power at the moment, even though they were rooting for Jeb. While the rich stay above the fray, we rage at each other through our screens at the imaginary audience on the other side, projecting a perfect image of ourselves, brave and strong and righteous. And because we are really none of those things, we defend the illusion by trying to destroy anyone who challenges it. Everyone is shouting. Nobody is listening. And the screen doesn't care. Technology that we once thought might take us to the stars has instead created a crisis of self-involvement. Lacking any sense of greater purpose and terrified of silence, we adopt the prepackaged personality sold to us by Fox or MSNBC or Bravo or QVC. Or we spend our precious time marketing our own personal brand as product and consumer in the churning 24-hour news cycle we've imported even into our private lives. In this chaos, a motley coalition is formed to demand that someone just blow the whole thing up. What started 50 years ago as a preference for politicians who are more relatable and informal has evolved to finally elect someone exactly like ourselves. We made manifest a man who reflects us perfectly, the president we deserve, a pompous, racist, lying, woman-hating narcissist who will promise anything to anyone but never deliver, a man who doesn't pay his debts but spends exorbitantly to maintain the illusion of his grandiosity. It isn't that Trump is the beginning of all bad things, or the end. It's that he is the result. He is the culmination of the worst parts of American civilization, with some of the endearing parts thrown in to confuse things. This man is a funhouse mirror of our unraveling civilization. Television loves him, because you can't help but watch the disaster unfold. The permanent political establishment loves him more because he excuses their sins. If you tortured for Bush or flew drones for Obama or caged immigrant children for both, you're off the hook now. Because everyone knows nothing evil ever happened before the election of Donald Trump. I took a break to chew my steak during dinner service after a stop in Rocky Mount. While I was lost in thought, another passenger had joined my table. I couldn't see his face since he was reading the Financial Times. I polished off a fifth little bottle of wine and was motioning to get the genial Amtrak waitress's attention when the newspaper slid to the ground. Where the stranger had been, a great crow with seven eyes appeared and spoke to me in a shrill monotone that echoed through the dining car.
The automobile took you away from the market square. The television took you from your neighborhood. Now the phone takes you out of your own life completely. Space and time collapse until you're completely alone, bathed in light. Hell is here on Earth, and Lucifer is in your pocket, spying on you so he can give you exactly what you want.
What are you? I exclaimed, covering my face. The great crow just stared. What would you have me do?
I don't know,
the crow said, pecking at a tuna sandwich.
Invest in public infrastructure, community colleges, libraries, roads, bridges, airports. That kind of thing has pretty universal support, right?
Yes. Though, I mean, isn't that...
What about federalized universal catastrophic health insurance that could backstop private plans and stabilize the market by capping the loss that an insurance company could take on an individual patient at something like a few million dollars a year?
The crow mused, kicking his head back and choking down the last few lumps of fish. I guess. So we're talking about healthcare policy?
I mean, you have to talk health care if you want to make American workers competitive globally. You have to start somewhere, right?
He unfolded a piece of shiny foil paper with some more notes on it.
Oh, yeah, maybe we could bail out local journalism, too. Implement a tax like the UK does with television licenses that fund the BBC. Money would go into an account controlled by the individual that could be spent on subscriptions to newspapers and so on, online or print or maybe even TV stations. Of course, then we have to think about campaign finance regulation. It's so perverse. The cost of advertising on TV is the biggest expense for most campaigns, which is why fundraising is so...
Okay, hold that thought. This is kind of big picture stuff. I want to write it down in a different notebook.
I don't have much time. I come to you from beyond the...
You're being really loud.
Yes.
Come to my room.
Okay.
First I have to hit the head. Do you mind?
No.
I flipped each bottle up for the last drops of vino as I shimmied out of the booth. The train lurched side to side as I made my way to the can. The crow hopped along table to table, leaving a mess of feathers and shattered salt shakers in front of my oblivious fellow passengers. In the bathroom, I splashed water on my face. The crow waited for me outside, preening and muttering. Then perched on my shoulder as I ambled clumsily through the two coach cars to the sliding door in the sleeper that opened to my sea-green bunk bed and rusty sink. My thanks to the porter for a timely turndown. The crow got comfortable in the bottom bunk. The lights out the window whizzed by. He continued to lecture me about professional sports, CBD oil, understanding the conflicts in Syria and Sudan as climate wars, the pros and cons of the latest generation of VR headsets, and the impossibility of retaining a modern level of technological sophistication in the event of a true civilization-ending cataclysm, because all the easily obtained fossil fuels have already been exhausted during the current age. I was starting to doze off. "Is there anything to be hopeful about?" I asked from the top bunk.
Well,
the crow said,
fewer people are living in extreme poverty than at any time in human history. Armed conflict is at a historical low all over the world. Population growth is close to a sustainable equilibrium, and with any luck, some combination of environmental regulation, green energy, nuclear power, biointensive farming, and maybe even a quantum leap in carbon capture technology could save us from the worst effects of climate change. Then, with things stabilized, a generation born after the dawn of the digital age might get bored with ubiquitous consumer connectivity the same way the novelty of automobiles and the television wore off for each previous generation's grandchildren. Then they might rediscover community and empathy as essential components of a human life, and have a chance to revitalize civilization at the individual, communal, and eventually global level, so that your species can pursue some greater purpose that you and I can't even imagine.
Do you think that will happen?
Could be.
Well, that makes me feel better, I said.
Good.
Then the great crow flapped up to rest his weight on my berth. He trained all seven of his eyes on mine, unhinged his beak with a loud crack, and gave me the worst blowjob of my life.
This production of American Tantrum, The Donald J. Trump Presidential Archives by Anthony Atamanik with Neil Casey, was read by Anthony Atamanik, Kathy Griffin, Tom Arnold, Neil Casey, John Gemberling, and Lennon Parham. It was presented by William Morrow and Harper Audio, and was directed by John Runette. Recorded at The Village in Los Angeles. Engineered by Jared Nugent. It was produced by CDM Studios. Executive producer Suzanne Franco Mitchell. Text copyright 2018 by 137 LTD. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.